Well, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Christine speaking, and it's Saturday, this beautiful, bright morning where I'm sharing this message to be posted on our website for Sunday. And I pray that it will be a word of encouragement and strength for all of us. It's amazing and hard to believe how much our lives have changed in just a few weeks. Almost everything about our lives has been altered. And it's a very challenging time. So I pray that you are finding ways to be encouraged and keeping safe, keeping well during this time. As we know, Pastor John has been encouraging us for quite some time now to meditate in Psalm 91, and how appropriate it is. Because Psalm 91 very clearly and honestly describes the exact things that we're facing right now during this pandemic. Things like dangers and pestilence and disease and plagues and terrors and arrows and attacks and just outright evil. So we know we're in a huge battle right now. But there are encouraging signs that we're seeing everywhere. For example, I read recently that the Bible sales, the sales of Bibles online, has drastically increased as people are looking for answers and people are looking for encouragement. The other day I posted on Facebook a beautiful testimony that I saw on the news. It was on YouTube. And it was 32 trumpeters from around the world who got together and wrote a piece of music and played it called Hope for the Future. And it was dedicated to the frontline workers and all those who are taking care of us during this time. So there are really encouraging and many initiatives and people pulling together in so many creative ways as we navigate through this time. And it's very encouraging to see all of those things. In Psalm 91, the writer of the psalm also clearly sees into the soul of God himself, able to describe the beauty and the power of the God we love, calling him our shelter, our refuge, our protector, our deliverer, who protects us, who covers us, who sends angels on our behalf, who is utterly faithful to his promises. This psalm describes the power and complete perfection of God in his love for all of us. And I have a personal connection to Psalm 91. From a few years ago in 2009, I memorized Psalm 91, not because of any great spirituality of me, but in fact, quite the opposite. I was afraid. I'd had an experience in the year 2000 where Sarah and I went on a trip together with my parents in January to Florida. And on the way back from Toronto, the trip from Toronto to Ottawa, we experienced pretty drastic turbulence, to the point where even the flight attendants had to stay strapped into their seats. And I had been flying all my life since I was 5 years old with my family, and I'd never been afraid, but this one trip from Toronto was brutal and very scary. And when we finally did get to Ottawa, we had to circulate around for what seemed like eons in the fog before we made a rather bumpy landing. And I could tell that a certain degree of anxiety had entered my heart, that I really had no desire to get back on a plane anytime soon. And then in 2009, I had an opportunity to go with my family to Cuba, where I had never been before. And for those of you who know me, I have a great love for the ocean, to look at it, to walk beside it, to swim in it. I just, probably because vacationing near the ocean from such a young age. So I wanted to overcome that fear and go on that trip, which I was able to do. And while I was there, while I was in Cuba having a really wonderful time, I recognized, however, there was this anxiety in me about even about the trip home. And so I began to meditate more faithfully in Psalm 91 and made the decision that I would memorize it. And it's interesting because over the years, as faith for the promises of Psalm 91 has been growing in my heart, there was one powerful force that held me steady while faith was building. And that powerful force is hope. not any hope, but godly hope. The hope described in Hebrews 11, verse 1, where it says, faith is the substance of what we've hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we can see that while we are waiting on God, while we're meditating and building our faith, hope is what holds us steady. Hope is something that comes before faith. Without hope, we would never grow into faith. Because human beings need hope. All human beings need hope. From the time we're children, we hope for things. Little kids hope for to get what they asked for Christmas, or they hope to make friends. They hope for the approval of their parents. They hope for so many things, and that doesn't change as we grow. We all hope, because hope is the future. Hope is pointed towards the future, and without hope, we would have no motivation. We'd set no goals. We wouldn't grow. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12 that hope deferred, in other words, when we become hopeless, we become sick. And we can see that happening even now, that as people have lost their jobs and their health or their loved ones, their security, their hope for the future, we can see that there is a rise in mental health issues. There's a rise in depression, anxiety, tremendous amount of anxiety. That hopelessness or the loss of hope makes us truly sick. But the Bible also says that a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. A tree of life, that is the kind of hope that God wants to give us. A hope that will enable us to persevere and stay focused during even the most difficult times. Psychology Today says that hope is much more than just a good and positive feeling. That it's a dynamic motivational system. That hope is a dynamic motivational system that's built into us as part of how God made us. However, what's really important is where that motivational system is placed, where we place our hope. Because if we place our hope in the world, and we've seen that, how the world's systems can fail us, things that we put our trust in and our hope in can be shifting sands. They can move away in a time of crisis. For people who think, you know, their job is secure, or their health is secure, or their family is secure, and all of that is being badly shaken right now. So if we put our hope in the world, we're going to be shattered when difficult times come. But if we put our hope in God, then we're going to be able to stay steady through the storm. It's obvious that the world was not prepared for this pandemic, that we had not taken the steps necessary to prepare for a time like this. And so people are feeling this huge loss of control, feeling completely, basically, unanchored from their lives. But in Hebrews 6:13, God gives us a tremendous, tremendous promise. So I'd like to go and read that from the New Living Bible. In Hebrews 6, starting in verse 13, if you want to follow along, or if you want to look at it after. But we can understand now why the Apostle John told us not to love the world and the things of the world, because ultimately the world is going to pass away. But in Hebrews, we have a different picture. Starting in verse 13 of chapter 6, it says, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. And then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now when the people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise would be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary, where Jesus has already gone before us. Wow. This is saying that there is a hope that is an anchor for our soul. There is a hope that will anchor our souls through any storm. So when we look at this picture that God is giving us, we see that if you think of a ship that requires an anchor in a storm, that our soul is the ship, that our hope is the anchor, but that Christ himself, in the Holy of Holies, seated beside the Father, interceding for us in the holy place, that Christ himself holds the anchor. And so we can be absolutely sure that that anchor is not going anywhere. That anchor will never change. That anchor will never break. That anchor will never let us down. That hope of our soul is anchored directly into Christ, the Bible says. Anchors us to Christ while we wait for faith to come for the promises of God. In Psalm 43, the Bible says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." Our hope needs to be placed in God. That's where it can be anchored. That's where it can be anchored to Christ himself. And so that is a hope that will not fail. That is a hope that will carry us through this time. Our eyes need to be on the Lord. Our eyes need to be on the fact that this world is passing away. The things we're dealing with today that seem so terrible, and they are terrible. There's some really tragic, tragic stories that we're hearing, and my heart goes out, and I'm sure yours does as well, to the suffering that is going on all around the world right now. But all the more reason why we need God desperately to turn the tide of this terrible virus, to crush it, and to enable the people throughout this world to see who he really is in his power. In Psalm 91, God gives us four distinct things, at least four that I could see, distinct things that we can do to cooperate with him as he works in our lives to bring about these promises. There are four things we can do. Verse 1 in Psalm 91 talks about the secret place. He who abides in the secret place of the Most High God will find shelter in the shadow of the Almighty. So the first thing we need to do is find our secret place. Now, that's not a location, that's not a room or a building, but it's speaking about the way you commune with God directly, the way you connect with God. It's that personal relationship that God wants to have with us, which is where everything starts, because without that, all the rest is just words. So we need to find that secret place where we commune with God. Now, because everyone is so busy with working from home, looking after children, I know in my own family where, you know, they're working from home and having to be the teachers for their children, doing homework and supervising assignments and doing all of it. I realize there's not always a lot of time to just go off somewhere and be alone with God. So what we may have to do right now is make that connection with our family. For example, you can pray with your family. You can share a worship song with your family. You can talk about the things of the Lord and pray with your family. And together you can experience that connection with God, that secret place that we all need to be right now. The second thing that it says in verse 14 is that we're to set our love upon God. We're not to be divided with foot in two different places. We need to be devoted to God. The Bible says that we're to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and how easy it is to be distracted from that. But Psalm 91 teaches us that we can set our love upon God. We can think about setting our love upon God and telling God, "You are the most important person in my life. I'm setting my love upon you today, Lord." Once again, we do it every day. "I set my love upon you, Lord, that you are more worthy of love than anything in this world." Number 3 in verse 14, it says also that we should know the power of his name. Meditate and think about the power of Jesus' name. The power of Jesus' name that produces miracles, that heals people, that delivers people, that changes circumstances. I find that as I'm praying every day, I'm speaking the name of Jesus over the healthcare workers, over the scientists and the researchers and the biologists and everyone who's trying to find a vaccine or a medication or a cure. I'm setting the love of God and the name of Jesus upon the intercessors around the world that are praying right now for God to intervene in this situation. And that brings us to the fourth thing that we can do and must do, and that is to call upon him. Psalm 91 It says, when they call upon me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. If ever there's been a time when people need to see the true salvation of God, it's now. If there's ever been a time when we need to be the light in this world, it's now. And so as we corporately together, even though we're not together physically, we're together spiritually with all the other Christians in the world, calling on the name of Jesus, calling on the powerful God who loves us to bring about major changes, to bring about, to heal people that are critically ill, to deliver them from ventilators. There's so many things we can be praying for. But as we call upon the Lord, we know that our hope is anchored in Christ Himself, that hope, that anchor will not move. It will hold us steady through the storm. And so I pray that all of us will be able to embrace this every day and continue to grow as we face this challenge with God's grace and love and power. God bless you all. We love you dearly and miss being together, but we know that you are safe in the hands of the Lord. Amen.